Sports Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. 24 teams will participate at next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. For an update on the Nations Cup qualifying campaign, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
A total of 7 African nations, including host nation Cote d'Ivoire, have already booked their spot at next year's Africa Cup of Nations. Joining the Elephants of Cote d'Ivoire in the competition will be Africa's rave of the moment, the Atlas Lions of Morocco, who are confirmed to finish in the top 2 in Group K. The Moroccans will be joined by other North African teams, the Fennec Foxes of Algeria, who won the competition in 2019, as well as the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, who are 2004 winners. Another top African side, as the defending champions, Teranga Lions of Senegal, are confirmed winners of Group L, despite having 2 more matches to be played in that group. Also qualifying for this competition is the Bafana of South Africa, who really missed the last edition in Cameroon, as well as the Italians of Burkina Faso. These are 7 of the 24 teams already in Cote d'Ivoire for the competition, and by the time the next round of matches are played in June, we get to see more countries booking their position. For instance, Nigeria's Super Eagles need just 1 or 2 more points out of their last 2 remaining games to have their place in Cote d'Ivoire.
Sadio Mane, captain of the Teranga Lions of Senegal, and Victor Osimhen of Nigeria lead the qualifiers' goal chart with 5 goals each. What's your reaction to this?
It is actually not a surprise that these 2 names, Sadio Mane and Victor Osimhen, are leading the scorers' chart. And what's a little bit more surprising is the fact that Mohamed Salah is not up there with these 2 guys, because these guys remain Africa's hottest prospects in Europe. Although Mane has had a season troubled by injury, which he suffered on the eve of the World Cup last November, but it still remains one of the greatest exploits to have emanated from the African football. Having him leading the Teranga Lions into the competition already, they already qualified, it's not a surprise at all. And for Victor Osimhen, what he has done for Napoli in Italy is well documented.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And here on the Sunny Side of Sports, we have talked about is the potential that, you know, breaking records in the Italian league, which is on the verge of doing. And so he has also somehow translated it to his Nigerian form, although he was unable to score in the last 2 matches against Guinea-Bissau. He was denied by the woodwork in the return leg in Bissau. Having said that, we know that these guys are born to score goals. They know how to do that with all manner of skill. So it's not going to be a surprise if at the end of the day, in the last 2 round of matches, these 2 players still add to their scoring tally.
Fisayo, do you think more teams, especially those termed minnows, will qualify for AFCON 2024?
One of the advantages of having a 24-team Africa Cup of Nations is the fact that the so-called minnows of African football can have opportunities to qualify for the competition. So for this one coming up in Cote d'Ivoire in around 9-10 months' time, yes, a couple of minnows are expected to make it. In Group C, for instance, the brave warriors of Namibia have been so brave during this series. And after 3 matches already in that group, they are leading with 5 points. And they have just a couple of more matches to go. They have a good chance of qualifying. They've not attended many AFCON tournaments, and this might be another time for them to progress. Also, in Group L, the group from which Senegal, the defending champions, have already qualified. We have Mozambique. They are second, 8 points behind Senegal. And going into the final two round of matches, they have this advantage of no more facing Senegal, because Senegal have won their all the four matches in the group. And so the likes of Rwanda and Benin have it all to do when they come up against the Teranga Lions in their last two matches. So Mozambique just have to beat these two teams and they'll be making a return to the Africa Cup of Nations. These are some of the minnows, the so-called minnows that have opportunities of playing among Africa's big guns. I must also not forget the likes of Central African Republic, who are just 1 point behind the Black Stars of Ghana in Group E. And with two games left to play, they know that just 3 points from those two matches might earn them a return among the big guns in African football. These are some of the teams that will be hoping that when the qualifiers resume once again, they will be hoisting the flags of their respective countries and booking a spot in Cote d'Ivoire.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairo, chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll look at a court ruling that is likely to decide the fate of tens of thousands of Zimbabweans living and working in South Africa. Also, my interview with Chris Maroleng from Good Governance Africa about why we're seeing a rise in populism. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
In African youth football, CS Benseku Silla of Guinea and Fountain Gate School of Tanzania were crowned the boys and girls champions at the inaugural CAF African Schools Football Championship over the weekend in Durban, South Africa. In the boys' final, CS Benseku Silla defeated South Africa's Clapham High School on penalty kicks following a one-all draw. And in the girls' final, Fountain Gate defeated Morocco's Ecole Omar Ibn Khattab 3-0. A crowd of more than 6,000 watched the finals at the Sugar Ray Zulu Stadium in Durban. The tournament was described as the richest school football event ever held on African soil. The Motsepe Foundation, named after CAF president and South African billionaire Patrice Motsepe, awarded $300,000 to both the boys and girls championship teams. CAF Secretary General Varone Mosengo Umba comments on the school's football program.
This program means a world for CAF. You know, they have a lot of functionality there. Is to enjoy football, to have education, and we're using also to vehicle the value of football to our kids.
Meanwhile, CAF President Patrice Motsepe was among the football leaders who attended the finals in Durban. Motsepe said, and I quote, "We are so proud of all the young boys and girls that have competed here. You are the future. The most successful football nations in the world invest in youth. It is part of our commitment to develop football in every country of Africa. And the nations that are here, we are so proud of you." And Motsepe continued, "We know the investment we are making in schools football will result in the African game competing with the best in the world and being self-sustaining." Taking a look at some of the awards at the inaugural CAF African Schools Football Championship, Mohamed Sako of CS Benseku Silla was the top scorer with 6 goals. On the girls' side, Winifreda Gerald of Fountain Gate was the top scorer with 11 goals. Gerald was also named the Best Girls Player, while the Best Boys Player Award went to Kagiso Maloka of Clapham High School.
Season 3 of the Basketball Africa League is here. Heading to Cairo from April 26th to May 6th for the Nile Conference, and the excitement continues to build in the finals in Kigali from May 21st to May 27th. Tune in and follow the BAL on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which resumes its third season on April 26th in Cairo, Egypt. During recent Sahara Conference action in Dakar, Senegal, Stade Malien of Mali finished atop the standings and qualified for the BAL playoffs in May in Kigali, Rwanda. One of Stade Malien's big men, the 19-year-old Nigerian Ruben Chinyelu, is currently based in Dakar at the NBA Academy Africa. In a wide-ranging interview with my VOA colleague Mukbil Yabaro, Ruben talked about his experiences with NBA Academy Africa, his current BAL team, Stade Malien, and his reasons for choosing to play for Washington State after being heavily recruited by American colleges and universities. Here's Mukbil.
Great to have you on Voice of America, Ruben.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
If we could just talk a little about how's your experience been with the NBA Africa Academy, and what can you say about the introduction for the BAL Elevate, as you are a two-time BAL Elevate player?
NBA Academy, it's a really great program. It helps, you know, it's helped develop players, you know, like starting from the foundation, because, you know, in Africa here we have so many talented players all over the continent, but being able to get that good structure, good foundation on how to establish, you know, being a basketball player, especially if you are aspiring to be in the big league like NBA. So NBA Academy here has set us with a good foundation. You know, they taught us things that we need to know and what we need to do and you know, when we ought to do it, like. You know, like different, like me, example, from me from Nigeria, I played in Nigeria, but I never played using like a play, like a set play. So we just go and we play. But when I came into the academy, it was different because now everybody has their own role, what to do. So you have this person, okay, he does this, this guy does this. So everybody knows that around, they know what to do. And now you have plays, so you adopt, because it's mostly, the basic information is mostly what you see in every program you go to, because it's basketball, it's the same language. So being able to get all this information, it helps us keep us ready for what comes ahead. Playing in the BAL, it has been amazing. You know, playing the second season and then the third season, it has really been a good thing. And I'm really happy and opportune, you know, to be able to have that opportunity and be able to play in BAL. And it's really good because the way we've been taught here in the academy prepared us, because now you're going to play with other pros team who, like, you don't know them. Some don't even speak English, so they speak right. French. Like last year I played with Ferrovia Rodebeira, mm-hmm. who they speak Portuguese. I don't speak Portuguese, I speak English. So because of the, you know, what I've been taught in the academy, the knowledge I know about basketball, so it's the same thing. So I just go there when the coach is talking or saying, I already know what he's saying, because it must threaten, you do this, you do that. Okay, I already know it. But probably it might be, you might say it in another language, like in terms of language differences. You might say it in a language, but seeing it already, okay, I know that I've done this. So, yeah, I could do it. Yeah, it helps keep us ready and being able to, you know, what to do when you're on the road, like your recovery, getting your rest, you know, how to stay hydrated and things like that. It has really helped all the elevate players in this, in the play, performing in the BAL. So to set up a good structure for us, which is really good because it makes us, you know what we need to do, and, you know, keeps us accountable to whatever we have to do and what we have to do.
I like the fact that you brought up your last season team CFV, and now you're playing for Stade Mali in this season, and you guys finished at the top of the Sahara Conference. Amazing work. What do you think has been the cause of the success for the Stade Malien side?
The reason why we came out successful and we played really good to be able to be at the top at the in our conference is because we played together and we learned from our differences, from our mistakes, I mean to say. And, you know, we don't know each other that much because, like me, I'm just coming in. Like, I practiced with them, I think, two or three times before we started the tournament. And, you know, the coaches, I didn't get to play along with the coaches. And I think it was so for some other players there. But being able to play our first game and see what we could do together, see our mistakes and know how to adjust it. So I think it makes a bit of more chemistry for our team. And we go ahead with the second game, the third game. So we just keep on adjusting to what the game gives us. And I'm trying to fill out our loophole, you know, trying to fill up the gaps and keep going, just learning from our mistake and, you know, keep developing, trusting our team, our teammates, you know, building our team chemistry. Yeah, we just keep believing in our teammates because that's very important. Because, like, you know, once you know your teammates and you play with him, you know what he could do when he's on the court. So if I know what you're going to do, bring on to the court, he knows what I'm going to bring. The other guy knows what he's going to bring. So it makes everybody feel good when you're on the court because now you know you could do this. Okay, you know he could do this. You know he's going to go help. You know he's going to, he got your back. You know he's going to do this. He's going to do that. So being able to, you know, bond together, play those games and learn from our mistake and correct it and keep going, know how to, you know, be together on the court.
To me personally, what I've noticed is your team had a very young core, right? You have you have Aliou Diarra, you have Suleiman Berthe. They're both, like, I believe 21 and 22 as well. Talk to me about what advantages a younger team possesses over some of the older teams. We have some of the guys that are in their 30s. Even I believe some players were in their 40s in this league. So younger guys, what do you feel like there's the advantage that you guys had going into it?
The advantages that I think we have is, like, we run. Like, you know, we're young, we can run, you know, we can pick up the space, you know, we can move on defense, you know. So it's something that helps us because, you know, once you have young, once you have, like, young players with you that could run, that could play defense, you know, that could bring in the energy on the court, it helps set another tone for the team because now, you know, when he's on the court, he's going to do everything he got to do to make sure that he, you know, that the team get the win. So, like, being able to play with young players, it's really efficient because it helps us, like, you know, help us in our fast break, you know, playing good defense, getting stops, and now fast break splashing out, running down coast to coast. You know, that was really good because we're young, everybody can run, and everybody can move. So it's not like we're dragging while we're playing. So it was really good for us, you know, because we're young, everybody could run.
Fan perspective, everybody really liked the youthful aspect of Stade Malien. You guys came out of nowhere and played an amazing season. Just to switch gears a little bit, you recently signed with Washington State. Talk to me about what that process was like. And Washington State, for those who don't know, is a NCAA Division I team. And you were heavily recruited from, you know, the Florida Gators to, I believe, Tennessee, as well as University of Memphis. You know, Penny Hardaway is one of my favorite players all time. You know,
yes,
you know, unfortunately, you didn't go with them. But tell me what made you pick Washington State.
The reason I picked Washington State was, like, it was quite diverse school. Like, you know, you have different people from different parts of the world, you know. So being able to go there, you know, see new people, learn new things, learn new culture, and be able to make new friends. And the most thing that stand out for me was, like, the way they play. I like the way they play and execute. So I see myself fitting to their program, and I think it was somewhere I need to be because I might feel like I need to be there because I like everything about there. And they had a good, amazing coaching staff, and keep putting it. All the school I visited were really amazing. Their coaching staff were amazing, you know. But at the end of the day, you just have to pick up one school and go to one school. But my heart went for Washington State, and I know that's the place for me. That's why I picked Washington State.
Honestly speaking, you have to go with what works for you, man. So I'm glad you found Washington State. I know we are all going to be excited to see you play there. As for some of your goals, your future goals for basketball in your basketball journey, what are some of those goals?
My goals is to make it to the league. And the biggest of all is to be able to bring a big change in Africa in terms of creating a tournament which would be host in the continent Africa, like during summertime, just like AAU. Then you have players from different parts of the continent coming in to play, like teams bringing in players to play. So that way, scouts will be able to come see, watch them play, and hopefully it will be able to be televised, and people will be seeing and seeing the talent here in Africa, because I believe there's a lot of talent in Africa, but because of this lack of infrastructure and no opportunities, so a lot of people get to, don't get that opportunity. So I think something like that, we bring a big change, because there's a lot of smart kids in this in Africa, not just only play like sport wise, like this, they are smart. So I think they could use the opportunity to also get go to school while playing basketball. So just trying to create options for kids here from Africa, because I know that Africa got a lot of talent, and it needs to be out there in the world for everyone to see. So that's my goal. Hopefully someday I'll be able to do that.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. Honestly, from a 19-year-old to hear that these are your goals to help back on the continent is amazing. It's been great to have you on Voice of America. We will be watching you carefully in the playoffs, man. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
That's Nigerian basketball player Ruben Chinyelu. Ruben is playing for Stade Malien this season in the Basketball Africa League. And he spoke with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, from Dakar, Senegal.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports and other VOA programs. Check out voaafrica.com. Pro basketball, the NBA's play-in tournament tips off later Tuesday night. Now, the play-in tournament determines the lowest seeds in the upcoming NBA playoffs. There are two play-in games on Tuesday night. The Miami Heat will host the Atlanta Hawks, and LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers are at home against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, the T-Wolves will be without their French star, Rudy Gobert, who's been penalized for punching a player. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
The Minnesota Timberwolves suspended center Rudy Gobert for their play-in game against the Los Angeles Lakers on Tuesday after the 10-year veteran threw a punch at teammate Kyle Anderson in an argument in the huddle during a timeout in the team's regular season finale. Gobert took a swing at Anderson and hit him in the upper chest in the second quarter of Minnesota's game against New Orleans on Sunday when the flustered Timberwolves were trailing by 12 points. The Timberwolves rallied to beat the Pelicans 113-108 and take 8th place in the Western Conference. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Geffen. Rudy Gobert wrote on Twitter, and I quote, "Emotions got the best of me. I should not have reacted the way I did, regardless of what was said. I want to apologize to the fans, the Minnesota organization, and in particular to Kyle Anderson, who is someone I truly love and respect as a teammate." End quote. Now, the loser of the Lakers versus Timberwolves game tonight will need to win a second play-in game on Friday to secure the number 8 seed and a playoff date with the top-seeded Denver Nuggets. In the NBA's Eastern Conference, the same applies. The loser of the Miami Heat-Atlanta Hawks game tonight will need to win a second play-in game Friday to get the number 8 seed and a playoff date with the top-seeded Milwaukee Bucks. Getting back to Rudy Gobert, well, he ended the NBA's regular season as the league's fourth leading rebounder, averaging 11.6 rebounds each game. The top rebounder was Domantas Sabonis of the Sacramento Kings, who averaged 12.3 rebounds each game. Domantas is the son of Basketball Hall of Famer Arvydas Sabonis, who is regarded as one of the greatest European players of all time. Taking a look at some of the other statistical leaders in the NBA, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers led the league in scoring, averaging 33.1 points each game. Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks was next at 32.4 points each game. Joel Embiid's Philadelphia teammate James Harden led the NBA in assists per game at 10.7. Jaren Jackson Jr. of the Memphis Grizzlies led the NBA in blocks, averaging 3 each game. And Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors made the most three-point shots this season, 301. Buddy Hield of the Indiana Pacers was next with 288. And Klay Thompson's Golden State teammate, Steph Curry, made 273 three-pointers. Steph, often described as the greatest shooter from long distance in basketball history. Finally, the AP's Chuck Freeman steps to the plate with some Major League Baseball news.
The Tampa Bay Rays continue to be the big story in Major League Baseball, the first team to start 10-0 since 1987 as they blank Boston 1-0. Brandon Lowe broke a scoreless tie in the eighth inning with a solo home run. Rays pitching also allowed just 3 hits. Elsewhere in the American League, Shane Bieber shook off a rough first inning. He went 6 more in Cleveland's 3-2 win over the New York Yankees. Yankee center fielder Aaron Judge says his team did not have a good approach against Bieber.
You know, especially with getting some guys in scoring position, tried to expand a little bit when we didn't need to.
Chicago White Sox beat Minnesota 4-3. Texas downed Kansas City 11-2. Rangers starter Andrew Haney tied the American League record by striking out 9 consecutive batters. Baltimore downed Oakland. National League, Max Muncy hit a grand slam and a 3-run blast as the LA Dodgers bested San Francisco 9-1. Philadelphia routed Miami 15-3. New York Mets over San Diego 5-0. Atlanta beat Cincinnati. Colorado over St. Louis. And Arizona blanked Milwaukee. Interleague, Washington topped the LA Angels. Houston beat Pittsburgh. And the Chicago Cubs took down Seattle. Chuck Freeman.
And that wraps up the April 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.